Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Though your world is torn apart and you're left with a broken heart and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know.
Yes, he will. Every single time we serve a loving God, and there is a wonderful God who makes it all right, even in the midst of storms, even when we don't think there's any way to recover, there is a God who is there to hold your hand and to take you through the storms and to take you through the darkness if you would just not give up. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. Really glad to be here with you tonight. We have a very special show. Very rarely do we have the opportunity to sit down and talk with men and really hear about intimate and hard things that have happened in their lives. But tonight we have a very special guest to share with us his journey and also from his book so that we can know exactly what it is to still survive through very dark and difficult times in our lives. Ronald David Ray, author of Chosen to be Blessed, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be connected with you and some of the great work that you're doing here, and love to share my story.
Well, we definitely will be doing that. You know, Chosen to be Blessed is a wonderful book that you've written. And in that, not only do you discuss some really hard times that you've faced and you've gone through, but many people just stop there. What you did was actually search through the pain for the nugget, for the truths that were left behind. And indeed, what you came out with were about three really strong lessons and tips that anyone can take from this and apply to their own lives. And so as we talk about your journey and your story, I'm sure there'll be listeners who can relate on some level, if not all three, one, and to be able to understand that the same God that carried you through your ordeal is the same God who can carry them through theirs. So let's get right to it. Now, I know from talking with you that you grew up with a very strong faith in your childhood and in your family. And like most of us who started out early, at some point in time we are challenged by, you know, teenage life and thinking or young adulthood, and we start to slip away from our faith. Tell us a little bit about your beginning.
Well, I was blessed to have some spiritual roots, and my family They didn't go to church until I was about 7 years old, and then they through some series of events, parents started getting involved in the church, and you know that example of their changed lives and the friends around them really created a great foundation for finding God's changing power and His saving power, you know, to get some of the junk out of our lives. My parents came from kind of a broken home syndrome, different backgrounds, but kind of a, you know, not two parents in the home, not the Leave It to Beaver family, but yet they created that environment because of the warmth and love that the church became our family, and so that was kind of the background that my faith started in, and it was really preparing me for a journey with God through the work of Christ, and I didn't even know what it's about, you know, as a child, but kind of as you grow, your faith and your understanding grows as you see God out a little more in each phase of your life.
Talk to us a little bit about those years in between, before you kind of came back home, where you thought to yourself, I wonder what's out there, or, you know, what was it that enticed you to kind of slip away and not be as strong in your faith?
You know, I think we all go through, you know, highs and lows. I think I wanted to kind of, you know, like all young adults do, you kind of get your wings and kind of test the waters. And, you know, I got out on my own in my 20s, and I was far away from home, and actually I moved down to Atlanta, and I was single with a decent job and a decent car and my apartment, you know, so no parents to watch over me. And I was tempted by the world's, you know, the usual things, nothing too crazy, but I grew up in a Nazarene church, so they have, you know, strict lessons and, you know, like no dancing and no movies and everything. So I went dancing, and I went and saw movies, and I wasn't big into alcohol and things like that, but I did kind of stray away, and I thought, well, I've got my job, I've got my car, I just need to get me a wife now, because that's what you're supposed to do. And so I wasn't seeking God as much as I could. I was kind of seeking what I thought was what I needed. I didn't really pursue God's woman for me.
Yeah, you were looking for the next thing in life that you think you should have had. You know, you get the job, you get the apartment, you get the car. And so, well, yeah, okay, a wife is next. So in your wonderful instincts and not necessarily doing things God's way or what the Bible might have said or your teachings, where did you find your wife?
Well, I believe it was called the R&R 1000, something like that. It was a club, and you know, a dance club, and you know, I thought I was Danny Disco, and but
Danny Perio.
Yeah, that's his name. So yeah, that's kind of where we met, and I did bring her to church, and there was kind of this I'm a Christian like I'm an American, you know. And everybody down south is very, you know, it's the Bible Belt, and so everybody's kind of into that scene. It's very acceptable. But it wasn't exactly an equal yoking from the background I was accustomed to.
Yeah, and your wife actually did make a stronger profession of faith earlier on, you know, did make a commitment, a stronger commitment to the Lord. But she didn't realize, and you would have no way of realizing, that your union together would be fraught with many trials and many difficult years. And, you know, like many of us, we start off fine, and then, you know, things start to happen and things start to snowball. So you had a son, and then a few years later you had a daughter. And about 1 year in, you started to notice some things about your daughter's development and behavior. Describe what you saw in her development or lack thereof.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's something that all parents watch. It's the milestones. First, you know, they babble, and then they crawl on the floor, and then they start pulling up to the couch, and you know, when they eat their food, they start grabbing the food with, you know, eating Cheerios and trying to, you know, make a mess with everything, and everything went fine until about 1 year old, and she pulled up to the couch, and then we noticed she started falling down, but she fell down like a tree, and then she had this distraught look on her face, like, hey, what's happening to me? This is not normal. And she would just go down, and you know, parents that we, you know, trying to be close by and caring. And so we thought, wow, something's kind of wrong here. And so we went through the process of going to different doctors and specialists, and testing what's going wrong with her. And it ends up she had a very rare disease. About four people or so at one time had this disease. It's called, at least this particular strain of it, it's called GM1 gangliosidosis, It's probably more than you wanted to know, but it's a rare disorder of the Tay-Sachs family, and so we got educated in this world of diseases and what were the next steps. And of course, our world was rocked with this news, and of course, our faith was tested severely.
Yes, you're right. This clearly would challenge someone's faith. Your child, you love them, and at that age, they're so precious and adorable, and your heart just aches for them. How long was the process for her? Because this sounds like something that, outside of God doing a miraculous work, you pretty much were under the understanding that her time was ticking down. You know, what were the years like? How long was it, and what did you see happen before your eyes?
It's kind of like when we go into this dark, it's like the black hole of the disease. It kind of sucks the whole family down into its abyss, and you kind of, the only way you can get out of it is kind of like your own faith lifeboat. But the only problem is there's only one passenger per boat, and you can only go through it all by yourself because we each deal with it differently. And so as I clung to my faith tighter and tighter, I was able to get some kind of healing and comfort from my faith and the fellowship of Christians around me. And some family members were helpful. So we had moved to Michigan, and my family was fairly supportive. So she didn't have that family structure to support her, and she had my family, but, you know, that's not the same thing.
It's not the same, yeah.
And so, yeah. So I think the support system was just a lot different for her, and so she was searching for, I think, something different that wasn't there. So my endurance came from, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, you know, God says he'll be able to let us bear up under it when the temptation comes. And so now I'm in my storm, and I clung to the days of my youth where I had my roots in my faith and all the Bible verses I memorized and all the songs and all of the hymns, and everything just comes flooding back when I'm in the storm of temptation and trials.
That is exactly how the Holy Spirit works. He's able to bring these things to your memory and support you. And like you said, you know, your wife did not have the support system. It's 5 years of watching your daughter that deteriorate slowly, and she did not have that background. She did not have those years of scripture and, you know, even experiences with the Lord to draw on to say that I know he's going to be able to sustain me and keep me. So about 5 years in, she made a very crucial decision. Share that with us.
Yeah, and just real quick, kind of in retrospect, I look at what I know now, and, you know, I wasn't able to be the mature husband that she needed. And I was kind of looking out for my interests, and how am I going to survive this, and how am I going to make my family make it through this? And there's a lot of in my agenda at that time. But when push came to shove and enough got enough, she decided to find her comfort outside of the family. So she decided to leave the family, and there was so much pain involved. It was really hard to separate the disease. It was hard to separate the relationship from the family. So everything got commingled with the pain. And, you know, when you're a married couple, you've just got the two of you, and that's a thing on its own. But then you got the children, and your life is so wrapped around the children that all we could see was this diseased daughter that we had. And she was lovely. And spotless and pain, you know, it's hard to wrap your mind around why this would happen to someone that has never sinned. And so you think about that, and whether you're Christian or not Christian, or it's hard to explain that. But she did decide to leave. And so I was left at home with a dying child and a healthy, at the time he was 8 years old. and our terminally ill child was six, and so I'm left to raise them on my own.
Yes, that's very, very heart-rending on both parts, because it's difficult for any woman to walk away from her family, and it's difficult to be the one who stays behind with the children, and especially in that case. So when we return, we'll talk some more to find out exactly how God was able to help Ron through the storm and to encourage his life.
Down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. The God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you. I'm
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
We are here speaking with Ronald David Ray, author of Chosen to be Blessed. And, you know, as I listened to that song, we've all had moments where we were sure that by the time we went through a certain period, whether it was a couple of weeks or months or years, and we're praying, that God would have wiped our tears by now. And yet we find ourselves still in the circumstance, or maybe it's getting worse, it looks more bleak, and you barely can hear God's voice. It's like a whisper in the rain, the song says. But what's really important is that though our heart is torn, that we continue to praise him in the storm. And that might sound nutty to someone who is outside of a relationship with God. Why on earth would you do that? But you do it because God is faithful and because he keeps his promises. And men lie, men change their minds, but not God. He's faithful. And so as long as we continue holding on to him, he will keep his promises. And if you don't know him in that way, if you don't know him as Father, Romans 10 and 9 says that if we confess our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we would be saved. And that's where this relationship began, this relationship that Ron had for himself. And also, Ron, you know, we didn't get to talk a lot about your older son and how you helped him manage not only the loss of his sister or losing his sister, but also his mom leaving. How did you talk him through that or help him through that?
I tried to example before my son and model a authentic faith, but at the same time try to show him that my pain is real, but God is real too, and that here's how I get my answers in life, is I go to God, God's people, and God's word. And so I modeled that for him in the boyish mindset that he could understand. And so, you know, of course, you know, try to raise him in the Bible and do my duty as a Christian father to raise him to know God and God's word. And so we took him to church and all the programs. And I think the example of how I took the storm of the disease and the pain, how I impacted that, he took on that mindset. I knew that she was going to heaven, so I had the mindset that, well, like, we're going to be planning on vacation in a few weeks, so we pack our luggage and we, you know, take care of things. Well, Nicole is planning on going to heaven soon. We don't know when. And so we would talk like that. And I would have those candid conversations with my son. And I would say, she gets to go see Jesus. And we don't know when. And the doctors say it's going to be 6 months is all she has left to live. You know, he would ask the questions that a young child asks. And he would just be happy about it because it's like, wow, she gets to go to heaven, you know. So every night we would pray about her home in heaven every night for 3 years, you know, it was real to him, just like as much it is real as if we're planning to go on a trip.
Yeah, no, that's awesome because you really made heaven real for him. You made it very tangible and took away the bleakness and the selfishness that's often a lot of times why we grieve so bitterly is not really because of the other person, but because of our pain and our loss. And so you helped him to put a great perspective on it. But coming back to you, I mean, one thing to deal with the disease of a child and the death of a child, but in the midst of this now, you're separated from your wife. Were you able to work it out? Were you able to reconcile? How did that go?
Well, We did not reconcile. We tried, and she I believe she did try as best she could, and we tried some things. We tried a marriage program and some different things, but in the end, you know, there were things that she wanted to experience in life, it just was not the pain that the marriage and the family was providing. And I figured the best thing I can do to limit the pain on everyone's part is to make it as amicable as possible. And she felt the same way. And, and God still has a plan for her. And he has a plan for all of us. And her story is not over. And my story is not over. And your story is not over. So
right.
No matter where you are in your journey, God still has a plan for you.
Yeah, I think sometimes we try to choose sides in our effort to try to figure things out. And it's not that simple. It's really not that cut and dry. And we actually harm people when we do that. We need to allow God to move within their lives as he is going to be faithful to do. And so here you are. And you're now a single dad of a kid who, a son who both of you have lost in many ways. What's interesting about your book is that you actually say that the divorce was the most devastating part of the three D's for you in terms of death, disease, that divorce was actually the most difficult. Why so?
You know, it was more of an identity thing and a performance goal of mine. So, you know, American society and the culture we live in, we're so performance driven, right? And so we think, oh, if you're divorced, that's a stigma. At least when I grew up, it was like, you know, you had some part in to blame for this, and you couldn't hold your family together, and those kind of thoughts. So not only that, there was the personal impact of, so now that, okay, you lost your daughter and you lost your wife, and along with the wife, you lose your son because, you know, you get the shared custody issue. And so now I've got nobody. And those times when she had custody and visitation, I'm left with just myself. And that's the hardest thing to deal with, is when you're alone, how do you reconcile what's happened? You know, with mm-hmm. a loving God that promises to bless you if you follow him. And so how do you reconcile that with kind of the mindset of, hey, why did all these bad things happen? And so that was that's what made it so rough. And actually what happened is God put me in a position where I had nowhere else to go but him.
You know, it's extremely devastating. I was in a psychology class a few years ago and in the midst of a divorce myself, and I was very shocked when they threw up a list of top stressors on the human body. And divorce actually ranked higher than death, which was very interesting. So what you are expressing is even scientifically proven. It's just that our society really doesn't allow us to grieve over divorce in a way that it allows you to grieve over the loss of a loved one and to kind of deal with it because it takes more than a year or more than, you know, it depends on the person and the situation. I could relate so well. Those who have listened to this show regularly know that I have three kids that I've raised, and their dad's side of the family is the holiday side of the family. You know, that they do the holidays really well, and so for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, I could look forward on those days for him to come and pick them up. And there's an extra sense of loneliness and even an extra sense of failure that can come over you when that happens, because you are at your most alone place, because these are the days that get to share with their loved ones, and here you are just completely stripped and completely alone. But, you know, you and I did something in common, and I want you to tell people what you gravitated to. Instead of having a pity party, you did what instead?
Well, there's an old song by the Imperials called Praise the Lord. You know, when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. And it's when you got everything ripped away from you, and you realize you've lost everything you can lose except for the one thing you can never lose, and that's your relationship with Jesus. And when you get to that point, then life is freeing, and you can understand. God gives you your opens your eyes, spiritually speaking, to why things happened, and then you're on your road to recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. I would spend those days by myself. Sometimes I would fast, or sometimes I might would treat myself to a nice dinner. It would all depend on what the holiday was. And then I would spend the time praising God. I would turn on the best music and sing and dance in his presence and laugh and cry, or cry and then laugh, and
yes.
You know, just pray. And so what that does is by the time they come back home, instead of you being, you know, bloodshed eyes where people know you're crying for hours, or in a dark room rolled up in a ball, or even with just a bitter, nasty attitude, you are actually refreshed and restored, and you have a positive mindset. And really, I believe God really broke off very difficult, difficult things that we could have faced, because, you know, human beings just know how to mess things up really easily. It allowed me to have
right.
a disposition to be able to handle the difficult times well, and to allow for, you know, just a better relationship between all of us. Because, like you said, you do want things to be amicable and peaceful between yourself and the other person. So now, here you are, you're single, and you're dealing with all of this. Did you stay in your singleness? I mean, what was your thought pattern in terms of relationships and what you were going to do next?
Well, I went out searching. As soon as I got what I thought was mentally stable enough and emotionally well, I went out looking for the new Mrs. Right. And so I looked for, kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, I went out looking for the one that was too hot, and then the one that was too cold, and then one that was just right.
Okay.
But there's some stories in my book about that process. During that process and in my singleness and my loneliness, and I'm wondering, how am I going to do this? And I'm the typical guy, and I won't say that guys get a bad rap, but, we're not as plugged into the parenting scene as we should be, because a lot of times mm-hmm. we kind of let the woman take care of the family. We kind of mm-hmm. let that. But now that I'm on my own, I realize, wow, she did all this, and she had to put up with this, and here
right.
I am. I got to clean the house. I got to do the cooking. I got to, and with our sick daughter, I had to prepare the medicine, take care of the nurses and the schedule, the before school, getting this kid off to school, and homework, and all these things. And so then I realized, that I need to do some growing. I need to do some learning. So part of my enduring the storm. There's a section in the book called Enduring the Eye. So I have three chapters there: learning to pray, learning to be wise, and learning to endure. Best thing about it, sometimes you just learn to appreciate enduring and be thankful for, I made it through another day. Thank you, God, that you gave me this blessing of today. And you learn to be appreciative of the little things. And so as I look back over that period of what I call enduring the eye of the storm, I realized that we all have our cross, and the cross that you have is your storm, and that leads to your crown.
So now, I love your Three Little Bears analogy, and definitely people have to get the book Chosen to Be Blessed, and the link is on the website, and we're going to talk to you again at the end of the show and tell you where you can actually connect with Ronald Ray yourself and find out more, especially men out there, because I don't think you hear this side of things often coming from other men. So this is what's so special and so awesome about this show. And the part that I think men tend to skip over that women always want to know about is, how are you handling this dating scene and the juggling and everything? So that's why I really do like you talking about, you know, the too hot, the too cold, and the you know, the just right. And you actually, know, you actually experienced that by hooking up with someone who was an old flame, which is normal. Yeah, you know, I think, and that's our mindset, like that maybe we missed it in the past and maybe we need to go back to, you know, so someone we, you know, missed who worked so well together and it was smooth and easygoing, but that wasn't it, you know. And then you seem to find someone who was just right, and you joke and you say even your family liked her, and that should have been a sign that it wasn't going to work, you know. But talk to us about that last situation, whereas it seemed like everything was working well. Tell us about a little bit about her and why you decided to end it off.
Yes, very, very good point, because you're right, and a lot of guys don't share these thought processes. And so I had gone through this storm, and I wanted to continually remember how, and part of learning involves remembering where you went wrong. So I wanted to make sure I didn't make the same mistakes. And so I remember, well, did I seek out God's woman for me in my life? And as I got serious with girlfriend number one, I kind of found that out, and actually kind of quickly with girlfriend number one. And I was close to an accountability partner, and I kept myself accountable to this friend and told him, hey, I'm dating this girl, and hey, this is what's happening, and hey, what do you think? And so that kind of helped me along. And then girlfriend number two, the same kind of process, but this time I realized myself that this was not the right person for me, because there's no spiritual connectedness. Maybe, you know, everything else was fine, the physical, the emotional, the mental. You know, we want someone that connects on all these levels. But the spiritual was not there. So I just had a sense from God that I needed to break it off. And everybody would think that you were crazy, because you had everything that, you know, that you would normally look for, the decent job. You know, every guy wants, you know, a woman. Everybody wants to get their way, right? So she would do whatever I wanted her to do, and she was kind, and all these really nice things that you would think, this is great. She's really super, super nice. And then I had this gnawing feeling that the spiritual connectedness was not there. And so I made a commitment to God that I broke it off, and I broke it off.
You break it off, and you know it's the right thing to do. But what did that feel like for you? What were those emotions? Because all of us are whether it's God asking us to leave a job because he wants us to follow him doing something, or get out of a relationship before it's too late, and we're obedient and we do it, but there's still this feeling, these experiences, these emotions that we have after. So what went through your mind, just briefly, because, again, people are going to get the book. What did your discouragement look and sound like?
Well, you are hitting on a really, really key point, and the point is this: thou shalt have no other gods before me. Spoke that to me. He said, are you putting this relationship above me? And that's really what it came down to. And I had to say, yeah, I kind of am. And that's my weakness. Okay. That's my Achilles heel. That's my temptation, is to put my relationships, the ones I love, ahead of God. And that could be my children. That could be, my significant other. That could be my job. It could be all these things. But God spoke to me very clearly, and he reminded me again, we've already gone through this before, Ron, you know, hey, you're putting this person above me, and I'm telling you, this is not the right person, and I will lead you to who you need to be with. And so that's kind of where God was leading me. And I had done this as a young 20-year-old. There was a preacher that talked about committing your children. My very first child was born, he's a son. He's 24 years old now. His name is Zachary. He was a one-year-old baby, and that's the first time, when you have your baby, your first baby, it's kind of like you realize what God went through when he gave up Jesus.
to sacrifice his only begotten son so that we could live. And then you look at that and go, wow, what amazing love. And then you have so much love for your first child, and you go, I could never sacrifice this. But that's exactly what God's asking us to do, is to sacrifice the ones we love the most to have faith in him. And so that's been the calling of my life, and it continually is, because we forget, right? We're fickle. We got to continually lay the ones we love at his feet.
And, you know, holding on to Jesus is the number one thing we can do. When we come back, we're going to see exactly how God answered all those prayers for all those years and waiting moments. He is so awesome and so great. And you'll find out.
Jackie Wayans.
Inspiration through word and song for you.
So hold on. Don't give up. That is the name of this show. And Ronald was at a point in his life, well, he thought about joining the celibacy club and just swearing off women altogether because it just didn't seem like relationships were working, and God wanted him to put him first and above all else. And you made that commitment, you broke off the relationship, and 2 days later, sitting in church, something wonderful happened. Tell us.
Well, I first of all want to say I noticed my now wife first, because, you know, you've got that single floating eyes, right? So now you've got married eyes, and married eyes, they don't look very far, right? And so now I kind of, I'm looking, is this lady married? Is she pretty? And you kind of have that kind of, like I said, single eyes. You're kind of like, well, if you're available, maybe we can talk. But so I did notice her, and I said, God, well, this is funny. I went to church and I was praising. I was like, I'm trying to ignore all of the temptations and all of the single women, pretty women. I was like, I'm done with it. Because last night we had a long prayer session, and me and God had things settled, and me and my boy would have, you know, the guys hang out, you know, we were into Boy Scouts and doing guy things, and so me and my 8-year-old son were having a good time. And so I'm sitting there worshiping, and so I noticed this pretty woman, but I also noticed this little girl. So now it's like, okay, I feel like I wear a sign on me that says, I lost my wife and daughter. You know, you feel like you wear that loss all over you, and the world sees it, and they see the pain in your eyes and your life. And so I felt like I was wearing that shirt, and then God sent this beautiful woman and this beautiful girl. Now beautiful women are all over the place, but not to have a beautiful woman and a beautiful girl, and the girl was about the same age as the one I lost. So that's what really caught my attention. So I'm having this conversation with God in church. God, this is pretty funny. You've got this little girl sitting next to me, and you've got this beautiful woman next to her, and there's about 4 or 5 guys sitting around her, okay? And I was new at this church because I was trying to start over. I said, well, she's probably got a boyfriend. One of these guys around her is going to be her boyfriend or something. But sure enough, she was single, and she had just got done swearing off men because, you know, she had gone through some storms and some issues. But because I was praising the Lord, I think she kind of was looking for God's man, and she was. She wasn't looking for no joker, right? She was looking for a man that was going to serve God first and love him more than anything, because that's what makes it, you know? And
wow.
After the service, they started talking to me, and we went out and had lunch, and next thing you know, I had this conversation with God again. Okay, God, what are you doing? Here we go. We were together actually ever since that Sunday. But
and then
fast
forward, you end up getting married and having a family, and that's only a fraction of the story. We can't tell it here because we've only got 5 minutes left to the show and so much more to still discuss, but definitely they're going to get their hands on your book, Chosen to Be Blessed, because there are many miracles. I call them miracles that God did to really show you that he'd been with you all along. And I think your story is really powerful and phenomenal. And because of you being retrospective and taking a look at what God has done, and it's interesting because this is happening during the season of Rosh Hashanah, which is a time of really being introspective and looking and being still with God. You know, you came up with this wonderful analogy of storm. You know, we have the before, the eye of the storm, and the calm. And you equate it, as you mentioned earlier, to curriculum, testing, and blessing. Can you, you know, in like a minute, just sum up what that's all about?
Yeah, I think we all find ourselves in one season of life or another. So if you're in a hard time right now, you're in a phase of enduring the eye of the storm. All around you is storm and death and disease and hardship, but there's no way out of it. So you've got to find a way to endure, and God has the answer for you. And when the time is just right, he's going to clear the clouds away, and you'll come into your season of blessing, which I call restore the reason. So God will restore you, and he will also give you a reason to go forward and a reason why it happened. Just like in Joel 2:25, he says, I will repay for you the years the locusts have eaten, So that's the restoration. And if you don't have either one of those going on, you're in a peaceful state of mind, and that's the first phase of preparing in peace. So you should learn and plan for the storms that will come, because the Bible tells us there will be times to come, there will be testing, and prepare your prayer life and your heart and your faith to have those roots of faith. It's like the sequoia trees. They all link together 300 feet wide. They prepare for the storms, and they hold together.
That's a wonderful analogy. Guys, if you're not itching to get this book yet, I mean, really, you want to get your hands on it. The last thing I want you to share with us, because I think it's such a great analogy in terms of nuggets you can get out of the darkest of situations, and going back to the loss of your daughter, you know, you share that we really are all terminally ill. We're all terminally ill. What do you mean by that?
That story comes from another story where there's an anchor man, and he is for a news station, and he was terminally ill, and I tell that in my book, and he is clinging to Christ as his salvation, and he's got such a great attitude about it, and he's going to be a blessing through this disease, and eventually he's going to die, but he's, you know, we're all going to die. And how are you going to leave a legacy? How are you going to have people remember you? And nobody knows the grains of sand that we have in our hourglass of life. So, you know, that's the mindset. And when you go through a death or a divorce or something hard, you realize that I've got to appreciate every time that God's given me on this earth, and to find your purpose, to make something and rescue that reason that God's given you. And he'll do that, and he'll clear the clouds away and give you that bright, bright, sunshiny day.
Exactly. You know, you want to ask the questions, what can I do in my life to glorify God and be grateful? You know, it's hard to be grateful in the moment, but as you heal and God heals you, you can come into an appreciation of even the things that you were able to learn through the storm and through the difficult times, and turn around yourself and be a blessing to others and treat others right. Ronald, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Please let people know right now where they can get a hold of you and your book.
Yes, they can go on the website www.chosentobeblessed.com, and they can find out more about me, and they can purchase the book right now.
Carrie Oberbrenner of Igniting Souls Tribe. If you're an author and you have a story to tell, definitely reach out to him. He does great work, and he helped to bring you to my attention, so I'm really thankful for that opportunity.
Yes, definitely. Okay. He's definitely a part of my story, and I appreciate all that he's done to help me get my story out.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being a part of our show, and hopefully we can have you back again. But I'm so thankful that you came to a point in your life where you can breathe and you can really know that God had your back all along. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you too, and God bless everyone here that's listening.
Okay. For those of you who are listening, remember that Songs for the Midnight Hour is back Mondays through Thursday from 10 to 12 o'clock. And until then, I want you to be your own best hero. The greatest hero of all gave himself for you. Take care.